You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Truecaller, the app that we all use for identifying who's phoning you and who is trying to spam you, is currently under investigation by the Information Regulator of South Africa. That is, of course, the regulatory body that aims to continue to protect our privacy and information sharing in South Africa. They're investigating them for a number of potential violations and breaches that have been brought to their attention. For more on this, we're going to be taking a look at this with the editor at My Broadband, Jan Vermeulen. He joins me on the line now to see what we make of these developments. Jan, lovely as always to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. What is this investigation centered around and what brought it about?
Yeah, good day. It's a pleasure to be here. In essence, what's happened here is a group of people have laid a complaint with the information regulator. So that immediately spurs it to action. And the essence of the complaint is that Truecaller allows people to label businesses as spammers or fraudsters or scammers. And that does those businesses harm. And then the only way out for those businesses, they allege, is to subscribe to Truecaller's service to have them appear on a green or gold background. So you get like a gold or platinum subscription service as a business, and then you get a different background on the app. But Truecaller says that the allegations are false. And while we're just laying it out there, it does seem a little bit like a bunch of spammers have laid complaints at the information regulator about this to try and minimize Truecaller's impact on their business model.
Now, this is particularly interesting, Jan, because we know that we do have a spammer and scammer problem in South Africa and around the world, and companies like Truecaller are often dragged into this because they are able to facilitate the conversations, or whether or not they share the information or not, that is potentially where the POPIA Act comes in, or the POPI Act, as we know it, the Protection of Public Information Act. How then does Truecaller respond to its responsibilities around that?
Yeah, they're very careful about the wording they choose. So I'm going to paraphrase a little here because it's an interesting philosophical debate. Now, at issue here as well is that Truecaller in some incarnations allow people to upload their contacts list to the Truecaller, or at least they used to. I don't know if they still do this, but they used to allow you to upload your contacts list to Truecaller and then get certain features in exchange for that, rather than paying a subscription service or you gain access to a different kind of lookup or whatever the case might be. Now, Truecaller has said that, firstly, that no longer happens. And secondly, a point they made that I think is very valid is that there's an exchange happening here. The Truecaller service only works if people share a certain amount of data with it. Essentially, so it functions like an old school phone book. And so there needs to be an understanding that some sacrifice of people's private data allows people to make informed decisions about whose call they want to accept. And I think that's a valuable philosophical discussion to have about where we draw the line with regards to protection of personal information in South Africa. Do we allow the privacy rights of certain individuals or corporations to be infringed to protect the greater majority of people who don't want to be spammed and defrauded and scammed, but then also run the risk of an innocent person being targeted by vindictive people who then has their number blacklisted? So there's I think a very valuable discussion to have here about how these services operate and potentially what kind of recourse an innocent person might have to say, no, but I'm not a fraudster or a scammer or a spammer. I would like to appeal this decision in Truecaller. What's my recourse for that? And so there's a lot of nuance to this that I think often gets left by the wayside in our Twitter discussions about it.
Now, Jan, part of the conversations that we have on these socials and related to these platforms is ultimately a company like Truecaller is rendering a service that South Africans and many people around the world are comfortable with using because it does benefit them in some way, shape or form. How do you balance that as part of these nuanced conversations with the responsibilities that should be in place, whether it's from a Truecaller perspective, from a policy and a legislative perspective? How do we now start to kind of navigate the conversations around utility versus, as you said, rights that are afforded to consumers?
Yeah, so the way I see it, there's two possible solutions to this. One is Truecaller. Truecaller has obviously seen a need in the market, a gap, something that everybody wants and needs, and has responded to it by providing that service. On the other side, you can have a, let's call it a more state-sanctioned or government-provided service, but those are almost always weaker and either it gets infected with corruption or there are loopholes that get exploited. And so on. Whereas a for-profit entity like Truecaller is incentivized to make sure that its service works as well as possible. Because I would not be paying Truecaller a subscription fee, if it didn't work well, right? And so you sit with this conundrum where you go, because it's the users of Truecaller who are uploading their contacts information, phone numbers, and it's not like, you know, ID numbers, it's their names and phone numbers that get uploaded to the Truecaller service. And then Truecaller lets users around the world, you know, report if something is spam or not. And so the other question to ask is, where does the individual's responsibility begin and end? Does Truecaller make it clear enough to the individual that, hey, listen, you're about to upload somebody's contact information to our service. Are you sure you want to do this? Do you have their permission? And so there's perhaps that nuance to look at rather than, you know, going, you know, with a too black or white approach here. There's some responsibility that resides with us as users of Truecaller. There's some responsibility that resides with the platform Truecaller itself. And then also potentially with legislators to go, hang on a second, copier is too blunt an instrument here, because we can all see that a service like Truecaller is not only useful, it is necessary. And so perhaps it should, the regulations and the legislation should be amended to reflect that fact, that we as a society have actually communally agreed that we want Truecaller and we want it to be legal.
Some important considerations when looking at protecting our information and the use of that information, whether you're a private individual or a business. We'll see how this investigation continues to unfold and what comes of it. For now, we'll leave this conversation on that note. Thanks so much to the editor at My Broadband, Jan Vermeulen, for joining us to take a look at the latest investigation by the information regulator into Truecaller and its use in South Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.